Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, everyone. This is Joyce Kyles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life. Thank you so much for joining us again for another broadcast of Boots on the Ground. It is my pleasure to bring the show to you each and every Monday from 5:30 until 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Of course, if you're on the East Coast, then it's 6:30. West Coast, we're reaching out to you at 4:30. We are so pleased to have each and every one of you join us. And for our newbies, our new listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. We do hope that we do or say something here today that is going to encourage you to invite others, that you will come back and listen to the show as well, and that you will take the information that you receive today and share it with those in your areas of responsibility. For those that are new to us, Walking Into a New Life's mission, of course, is to stop domestic violence and help stabilize victims through a series of projects, programs, and initiatives that we host throughout the year, most of which are absolutely free. We do have a couple that are of minimal cost, but pretty much everything that we do is free with the hope that we are educating, inspiring, and informing others about transitioning from a victim state of mind to a victorious one. So again, welcome to the show. I am Joyce Kyles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life. And when we recap, we will just kind of touch on a couple of things that Walking Into a New Life is currently working on that we would love to have our listening audience to participate in. But having said that, what we're going to do for the next 20 plus minutes is talk with our Executive Director of the Family Safety Center right here in Memphis, Tennessee. She is none other than Mrs. Aliette Murray-Grobolt, and she has many years of professional experience that she brings to the table. So she is very knowledgeable on the subjects of domestic violence and sexual assault and just social issues that affect our communities as a whole. So without further ado, I would like to introduce to some and present to others none other than Mrs. Aliette Murray-Grobolt. So, Aliette, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good evening.
And for those that have been following our show since the beginning, then you know that Aliette is no stranger to Boots on the Ground. We've had the pleasure of having her on our show as in our early stages. So this is an appropriate time to bring her back. For those of you that may not be aware, April is recognized as Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And so we want to spend a few minutes talking about what that is, what it looks like. And, Aliette, I'm just going to hand the mic over to you for the next few minutes. And if you would share with our listening audience a little bit about who you are and about sexual assault awareness, we're going to just jump right in.
Sure. Well, again, I'm Aliette Murray-Grobolt. I'm the Executive Director of the Family Safety Center. And the Family Safety Center is an organization right here in Memphis in Shelby County, which is focused on serving as a one-stop shop for victims of domestic violence in their families. And, again, we help victims to navigate a wide range of services, including doing safety planning, but that victim and that family, as well as, you know, assisting them with emergency shelter. Also, we operate the 24-hour hotline here, so if someone finds them in a situation where they need some assistance, they can call our number at 901-222-4400. We connect individuals to counseling, individual counseling, group therapy, help them get an order of protection, help them file a police report, and do much more depending on the needs of that individual. And I'd like to say thank you so much, Joyce, for giving me this opportunity, because oftentimes we don't hear about the connection between sexual assault and intimate partner violence.
Right.
And, you know,
right.
Intimate if you listen to the media, you often think it's a stranger. But most survivors of rape and sexual assault will tell you that they knew their perpetrator, whether it was an acquaintance or it was an intimate partner. And, you know, sometimes when we're talking about sexual assaults that happen within intimate partner relationship, you know, you may hear somebody use the term intimate partner sexual violence. It may be just simply stated as domestic violence or intimate partner rape or marital rape or spousal rape. But no matter what the term is, it's never okay, you know, for someone to force you into performing a sex act or having a sexual relationship without that person's consent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well said. And thank you so much for being available to even share the information with us. And for those of you who are just tuning in, I'm Joyce Kyles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life. And you have graciously joined us for another broadcast of Boots on the Ground, Blog Talk Radio. We have the pleasure of having the Executive Director of the Family Safety Center, Mrs. Aliette Murray-Grobot, on the show with us. And she's just been sharing some information about the Safety Center and about sexual assault. And, of course, April is recognized as Sexual Assault Awareness Month. So thank you all, for those of you that are just tuning in. We appreciate you listening in. And Aliette, if you would, please just go ahead, feel free to elaborate on that, because off air we were talking about sexual assault and intimate partner relationships and how the two marry. And I use that word ironically, because I was about to say that I've often shared that for me, one of the single most traumatic experiences that I've had, that I still from time to time receive counseling for, actually was because of my rape, and it was at the hands of my husband. So I'm very transparent about sharing that and making sure that people understand that no is no, and that
right.
does include me.
You know, and as you know, again, you know, when we're talking about, you know, one intimate partner, you know, we're talking about someone who's had a past intimate relationship. Could be an ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend. It could be a couple living together but not married. It could be a married couple. It could be an ex-husband, ex-wife. It could also include same-sex relationships. And then when we talk about the sexual violence, it's, you know, any sexual act or attempt at a sexual act or unwanted sexual comments or advances or coercion, you know, again, involved within one of those types of relationships I just described. And oftentimes, you know, again, it's not discussed, you know, when we think about rape or we think about sexual abuse or sexual violence, we may not think about those type of relationships where folks have, you know, folks have a relationship. And what we see at the Family Safety Center is oftentimes that sexual assault is usually not in a vacuum, that there are other things that are going on with in their relationship around abuse. You know, it's just
right.
one more type of abuse that's happening within that relationship.
Right,
you know,
that's a very, very good point that you've brought up, in that people need to understand that there's underlining things that are going on as well. And I'm so glad that you said that, because so oftentimes, and you know this from being there and working with victims and survivors, that we're often asked why we stayed, why, you know, what's going on that caused us to stay. And if a person is really listening to that victim, that survivor, we find there's a whole myriad of things that are going on. So you're right. It's not just a vacuum, isolated incident.
In fact, you know, what we find is that, you know, if you – and again, as I mentioned before, we work with domestic violence victims. We work with victims of intimate partner violence. If you ask – and I would say women, because most of the who we serve are women. If you ask if she's been sexually assaulted within their relationship, most likely she's going to say no. But if you ask her, well, have you ever been forced to do something you didn't feel comfortable with, or perform a certain sexual act that you did not feel comfortable with, were you forced to? The victim will say yes. So again,
mm-hmm.
you know, most victims are not even aware that something has happened that's not appropriate. They might not understand that it's even. They might not understand that anything was wrong with it. So even the language that we use to discuss it is important.
Right, and that's a very valid point. The language that is being used, it's all about asking the right questions in a different way, because we all have different backgrounds and have a different understanding of what certain things mean. So whereas someone in one community may regard rape as sexual assault.
Yes.
But the next demographic may not recognize that terminology. But if you say rape, oh, yeah, that's what happened or that's what's taking place. So you're right, the language is so key. So, Alia, share with our listening audience then some things that individuals can do if they think that they may be a victim of sexual violence in any shape, form, or fashion. What can they do?
Well, one thing that, they may not be aware, again, like I said, that there anything is even going on, that they've been a victim. So there are plenty of organizations to reach out to. One, you know, the Family Safety Center will often have someone that just wants to talk. You know, they're not really sure, you know, if something's going on or not. They're not even really sure if it's domestic violence. And so they just want to share and talk to someone. Including someone can contact us. You know, again, we have the hotline. Also, someone can just walk into our office, you know, anytime between Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. if they want to have a conversation. Again, there are other organizations like the Rape Crisis Center here in Memphis and Shelby County. Again, they have counselors there as well. Again, if there is, you know, a particular incident and again, someone, you know, they may be in the midst of it, you know, always call 911. But again, someone may choose later on to report it to law enforcement as well. So there are plenty of organizations here to help. And like I said, many times we'll have individuals come through our office and they're not sure, you know, what's happening. Is it sexual assault? Is it domestic violence? You know, I'm really not sure. Is this appropriate for my partner to do this or not? And so oftentimes we're having those type of conversations with individuals that walk through our doors.
And so for those that are listening to us right now, please, Alia, share the contact information on how individuals can get in touch with you and the address for the Safety Center.
Sure. So we're located at 1750 Madison. We're located in Midtown in Memphis, and our phone number is 901-222-4400. Again, even after hours, there's an advocate that's going to answer that phone call. Also, our website is familysafetycenter.org. We're also on Facebook as well. So, again, anyone can call the hotline at any time. There are trained advocates that will answer the phone and provide you any assistance that's available.
And one of the things that I wanted to share, too, to our listening audience is that oftentimes we have individuals who will call in and they may not be the ones who are actually going through a particular trauma,
yes,
but they want to be able to help a friend or family member who they know with certainty is going through a particular issue, or at least they suspect that they may be going through a particular issue. So for those who want to help but they're not sure how to help, what advice would you give them?
Yes. You know, I think the biggest thing is just letting them know that you care, just letting that individual know that you're concerned, that you're worried about them. You just want to check on them and see if it's okay, if they're okay. And just let them know that you're there anytime that they want to talk. And I think really that's the key, just letting them know that you care, that you're concerned, and that you're a listening ear. We oftentimes get calls from family members and loved ones that feel that their loved one is going through a situation, they're not quite sure how to address it. And that's what we share with them. And anyone who finds themselves in that situation and needs some support or needs some advice, they can always call the Family Safety Center as well. We get plenty of emails asking, you know, what should I do? Now, I think my friend is going through a situation right now.
So listening audience, that is something that is very key and very important. We don't want anyone who is being victimized to feel that they are alone. And that's why we host these shows each and every week, because we want people to know and understand that there is support, there is help, there are services that are available, and that you don't have to always pay to receive the support that you need, the counseling that you need. The Family Safety Center is truly a one-stop shop. They have multiple partners that specialize in different areas, and walking into a new life is proud to be one of those partners. So for those who may be victimized, there are services. But I also wanted to pull in the fact that, you know, we do have family members and friends that call because they're concerned, and we want you to know and understand that you're not alone either, that you may not know what to say or how to say it or the way to present it. But I strongly appeal to you to reach out to the Family Safety Center, reach out to Walking Into a New Life or any other agency that fits your particular areas of concern, and ask for literature that may be available. Talk with counselors and individuals that work in this field, because together I believe that we can help to change the numbers and to bring these numbers down. But we've got to be adamant about working together to bring about a sense of not just awareness, but action. And by doing that, and we all work together to understand and use the right language, use the right terminology, speak with care and concern, and victim blaming. That is a huge, huge problem, and that's why a lot of people don't report.
Yeah, and you know what? And I also will say, too, you have to think about in terms of kind of typical age of someone who may be going through this. And we know through research that young women from, you know, age 16 to 25 are more likely to be victimized in terms of intimate partner violence and sexual violence. So you think of terms of, you know, again, just developmentally where someone is in terms of, and then they're having to deal with a situation like that or incident like that. You know, in fact, women who have experienced, you know, sexual violence or physical violence or even stalking, about 71% of those women are under age 25.
Wow.
So, again, you know, just, you know, having that wherewithal to know what's going on, whether it's, again, as I was saying before, they might not understand it's domestic violence. They may not understand they've been sexually assaulted. They might not know what resources are out there. They might not feel comfortable reaching out to a parent or someone else that can help guide them through that situation.
And then that's where we as the service providers come in and have to really be proactive in making sure that there are tangible resources available, that there are tangible campaigns that are going forward that don't just include awareness, but that it's being followed up with action so that we can make those who are being victimized feel comfortable in knowing that there are resources available, and speaking rather plainly and transparently about what sexual assault is, what domestic violence is, and use those layman terms that people can understand so that they can recognize it and say, oh, you know what, I think that may be my issue, and this is what I can do, and this is where I can go. So there's a responsibility and accountability that we have as service providers to make sure that we're not just making people aware, but that we're following it up with action.
Right, because I think, again, it is more challenging if you're thinking about in terms of someone who's been assaulted by someone that they know, by an acquaintance that could be a coworker, a friend, a neighbor, or someone they have a relationship with where they may still have strong feelings for that person. I think that's much tougher than dealing with a, you know, again, as we often think about a stranger attacking someone.
Right.
How do we address that?
And we were talking about that earlier, too, that we've got to get out of the mindset as a society of looking at sexual assault, looking at rape as someone stalking us in the middle of the night, you know, jumping out of the bushes, and that the woman may have had on a short skirt or a low-cut blouse, and that therefore she asked for it. So a lot of just this, the whole society and the way it looks at it, and rape culture, and how in some ways it's still glorified. And changing the minds and the mindsets of individuals so that they know and understand that no means no, and that it shouldn't matter that I had on jeans, tight jeans, or a short skirt, or that my cleavage was out, that it's sex, it unwanted sexual acts is constituted as sexual violence, sexual assault, rape, what have you. And so what that looks like, and I think just as a society, we've got to be more responsible in how we deal with it, how we approach it, how we talk about it, and to not sexualize it in a way that is dirty and unwelcome and uninvited. And also realizing that, again, as we talked about it earlier in the broadcast, that intimate partner, if you say no, it's no. That you're not obligated to perform sexual acts and do things that are perverted or make you uncomfortable, you know, even if it's not considered quote-unquote perverted, if it makes you uncomfortable,
it makes
then
you uncomfortable.
You have the right to say no.
Joyce, I think you brought up a great point in terms of, you know, again, we hear a lot about when we have these type of conversations, community conversations, at times there's a lot of emphasis placed on the behavior of the woman or the young woman or the girl or the woman in terms of how she's conducting herself, what she was wearing, where she was going, this and that. And I think that really takes the emphasis off of the behavior of the attacker, the abuser, the offender. And that puts the burden on the woman in terms of controlling a man's sexual urges. That's not her responsibility. That's his responsibility.
And to behave in a manner that is appropriate. And unfortunately, though, we live in a society that we still have predators that use that as an excuse to do the things that they do. And so on the one hand, you look at it and say, I should be able to wear what I want to wear and not feel that I'm going to suddenly be attacked. The other side is that, unfortunately, we live in a society where everybody doesn't have the same type of respect. So you should be able to wear that short skirt if that's what you want to wear, or your jeans, or whatever it is. But we also know that we have women who will wear, you know, baggy pants and big T-shirts.
Yes.
And look as inconspicuous and as unattractive as they possibly can, and they are still yet targeted, because just like with domestic violence, sexual assault is about power and control. That's all it is. It's not about feeling good or getting some type of romantic sensation out of it. So, you know, we have a society of people that just don't have that degree of respect that says, I need to leave this person alone because I am not invited. And I often think about something that my grandmother told me when I was young, and she would talk to me about my body and telling me that my body is a temple. And she says, no one has the right to explore it without your permission. And so, unfortunately, like I said, you know, not to be redundant, but we live in a society where you should be able to dress like you want to dress, and go where you want to go and do what you want to do. However, we have predators in our society that don't view it that way. And so they look at it as an opportunity to feel that they are being incited. And they act on being incited, and that unfortunately leads to the things that you see at the Family Safety Center.
And you know, and I know you've done a lot of work, you know, in terms of engaging boys and men around this work, and I do think that is key if we're going to end, you know, domestic violence, if we're going to end sexual assault. You know, they are part of the conversation, they are part of the solution in terms of even how, you know, men, how society view women and girls, you know, in terms
Absolutely.
Of providing respect that we are equals and that we are not sexual objects to be used in whatever way they see fit.
Absolutely, and I'm continuing on with that particular mission with Men Against Domestic Violence and our organization, and will strongly encourage those men who are listening to step up, speak up, and speak out, and make those men accountable, hold them accountable. You know, don't participate and engage in the jokes because they're not funny. Don't go at a boy, you know, because of different things that are said and done because you're with your guy friends. You know, there's just a lot, and there's not enough time to go into it on this segment, but I'm looking forward to having some men on the show in the weeks ahead to actually address that from a male perspective. So I'm excited about the exchange that we'll have with those men in the weeks ahead. Before we get off the air, though, Aliette, I do want to just take a moment out to ask you about any upcoming events, projects, programs that the Family Safety Center has coming up.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you about a couple. One is we're celebrating 5 years of having our doors open. This at the end of this month, April 29th, we're having a big celebration from 6:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. April 29th at the Pink Palace. If anyone's interested in purchasing tickets, tickets are $50. Anybody interested can go on our website at familysafety.org. It's going to be a real fun event, and also we are recognizing some key individuals that have really done great work in our community. There are some law enforcement folks that will be there. We're recognizing their work as well as some advocates that night. So, again, check out our website and join us. You know, again, it's a celebration, for the work that we've done and just thanking our partners and making this possible. And then, also, for anybody who may be a clergy member, a pastor, a preacher, who's interested in finding out more about domestic violence and what you can do, we have our volunteer chaplaincy program, and we kicked that off with a two-day training for anyone who's interested in working with victims of domestic violence, and that training is May 13th and May 14th. If anybody's interested, they can reach out to Mia, which is M-I-A, at familysafetycenter.org. And again, that day, again, you know, oftentimes we find that, you know, a pastor or clergy member may be the first person that a victim may go to if they're experiencing something. And sometimes those clergy members are not quite sure how to respond, what to say, what to do, and so this is a training opportunity for them. So, again, they know their partners out here, like Family Safety Center, so when they have a situation like that and they're trying to support one of their congregational members, they know what to do.
All right. You all, thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week, Aliette. As always, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being our guest on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And you all, I just want to say again, thanks so much for tuning in. We are still collecting cell phones. So cell phones, old, new, broken, your chargers, your batteries, your accessories, please reach out to us at info@wiaml.org. Give us a call at 901-466-6182. Please collect them, continue to collect them. We appreciate everyone who has done that thus far. We're also getting ready for our next quarterly tampering support day. So if you want more information about that free event for victims, survivors, and advocates, we welcome you to join us. This is one of our initiatives to ensure that we are providing tangible resources and support for victims, advocates, and survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault. We are going to be at the gala that Aliette spoke about at the end. We are so excited to be a partner with the Family Safety Center, and I personally have been engaged with the Safety Center even before I started doing the work that I do. So thank you all so much for tuning in. We appreciate you as always, and we look forward to having you joining us again on next Monday.